back to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I am your host, Meg Kruger. I am the content lead with Pioneer Athletics. I am joined by my co-host, Wes Knapp Feller, and our unofficial co-host for today's event, Chris Bell. We are live from Daytona Beach at the SFMA conference. So at Field Experts, check it out, at Pioneer Athletics, at Meg Kruger, at the non-existent Twitter profile of Weston Abifeller.
It's existent.
It's 4 followers. I think we can build
it
up.
I'm at 12.
Whoa, 12, okay.
Wow. 12.
And that other voice you're hearing on the mic, that is the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, jeez.
You can say the name however you please.
Yep.
It's Bjorn.
Bjorn.
Verified.
Yeah. Or what was the other way that we can say it?
Bjorn.
So Ryan Bjorn is how I like to say it. And he's joining us to talk about all the things that matter here.
I think I've been on about 10 podcasts so far. You've been on 3 of them.
I think you need to expand your horizons as far as guests on the podcast. Is what it sounds like.
Now we're kind of just trying to add a third host. So.
Oh God!
Yeah, we've been courting you, and you just have not been picking up on the signals. But no, we are here today to talk about a really exciting session that you will have tomorrow, alongside Leah Withrow and Drew Miller. So we'll get to that. We'll get into all the details and what you the little teasers that you can give us for that. But first, for anybody out there that doesn't know, which, you know, where they've been living, give us that turf origin story, you know, or really just like how this came up on your radar as an option.
Yeah. So, you know, I thanks for having me. Really excited to be back.
Good. We had a fun time, I think, last time.
It was a slightly different setting today than it was, you know, we were all sitting at our computers. And now for those who aren't here, you know, we're sitting at the entrance to the trade show. So there's just thousands of people walking by. I feel like we're a little on display right now, but I appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited to speak tomorrow with Drew and Leah, and some of Drew's students as well are going to be
hopping up there.
Yep. So Turf Origin started in golf courses in high school, really just fell in love with being outside, and somehow translated into, you know, 20 years later now, the field superintendent at Gillette Stadium and the training facilities for the Revs and the Patriots.
And I think the last time we talked, you were like hours away from a concert.
Yeah, we were right in the middle
Carol
of
the Carol G concert.
Yeah, Carol G. Oh, Carol. which actually is so funny because now, good story from that, and we were talking about this at the MLS Ground Symposium this past weekend. After the breakdown was going on of that concert, you know, they had 2 or 3 120-foot boom cranes that were out on the field breaking all the steel and production down. Well, one of those boom cranes, something broke, and the boom got stuck 120 feet in the air, and they didn't think they were going to be able to get it out for the loadout. So we went to bed Friday evening thinking we might not have the crane off the field by the time we got back there Saturday morning, and the MLS match was scheduled for Saturday evening. Luckily, there was a matching, you know, sister crane that was on a job site in Boston, and they literally pulled it off the job site, drove it to Foxborough, switched the part out overnight. And when I got in at, you know, 5 o'clock the next morning, luckily the crane was off the field and we were able to continue the breakdown and setting up for the soccer game.
And you never knew that you were a construction manager, but
no.
You, or, you know, somebody, a logistics manager equipment asset manager, and you became all of those things in a couple hours.
Trial by fire.
Yep. For sure. Well, and I think that is, you know, I'm sure you guys will talk a little bit about that tomorrow, but how the role of the groundskeeper has evolved from, you know, it's always been a profession rooted in math and science and all the good things that we love, the outdoors, everything like that, but how it has evolved into so much more in the past, you know, decade or so, and where it's, your boots on the ground for these Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Luke Combs you guys have coming, or you had him?
Had Luke Combs, we have Zach Bryan. We don't have Noah Kahn, and I know Weston's very upset about that.
Yeah.
But they'll be over at Fenway, so still maybe you can
find
some tickets.
Do you have Metallica?
Oh, we do have Metallica. Yeah, two nights actually.
Oh, both nights.
Yeah,
wow.
Both nights. Yeah, really excited about it. Definitely don't need any volunteer help for that. So,
well, you said you won't be working. You'll
That's
be in the stands, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, to everyone who doesn't know the joke that Weston's alluding to, he was volunteering to come down and help out for those concert nights so that we could enjoy
there was no help volunteered.
But yeah, that's one of the few, probably the few concerts we've had since I started in 2019 that I'm very excited to be in the crowd and enjoy it and not be working. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a great point. It's like, what elements of this job are, is it fun to like step away from the day to day and be like, how sick is this that I get to have a front row seat? You know, what are some of those things that you're like, I can't believe I'm boots on the ground for something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I literally was just talking to Tom Wilson from the Dolphins and a couple guys after the lunch in there. And we were talking about, you know, kind of how we get a little jaded to it here and there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, we walk out on the game field every day and it's our job and we don't really kind of comprehend how much it means to people. So we were talking about things that mean a lot to us that we do. And one of my favorite things is just bringing friends or family and having their kids come out and just walk out on the field and watch their face and mm-hmm. see how they react, just to kind of remind yourself how much it means to people, how lucky we are to be able to experience that every day, even though we get a little jaded to it here and there. And then another one, you know, we hosted Army Navy this past year, and that's probably one of the top three sporting experiences I've ever been a part of. And it was just the game itself, you know, the running joke is it's just the football is not that entertaining. It's everything else that goes around it.
The fanfare around it.
Yeah, and just like the passion, everything that week just felt like it meant a little bit more. Yeah. It's hard to quantify, but, you know, just walking around, seeing all the cadets, seeing all the extremely high level service members that we had there, one of which I unknowingly kicked off the center logo while we were painting. Turns out he was the whoever, I forget the actual title, but he's next in charge of the military for the United States behind the president. And I asked him politely to step off the logo while
he got a job to get signed.
So he wasn't he was just dressed in fatigues and he was waiting for the Army marathon team to deliver the game ball on Friday, and we just finished painting the red, white, and blue 50-yard line, and he was standing in the middle of the logo, and excuse me, sir, would you mind, you know, please stepping out? And he was, couldn't have been nicer, super appreciative. And then someone came up to me and told me who he was, and I, you know, I kind of walked away in shame a little bit. But
what's it like to have an FBI file now, then?
Yeah, that's true. Knowing me, I might have had one before, and I should know it, so.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we were talking the session right before was Andy Hubbard, and he was talking a little bit about the nature of his gig is, you know, he's there before game time. He doesn't get to experience that, you know, kickoff feeling. Mm-hmm. How just does that refuel you week after week when you know, whatever happened on Monday, whatever happened on Wednesday, when you get to Sunday and you have that kickoff feeling, does that refuel you, or how does that really resonate with you?
Yeah, for sure. It's the one thing, you know, I think one of our assistant superintendents, Chris Hurley, we did a do your job video that the team produced, and they mm-hmm. do like behind the scenes in different departments. And that's the one thing he mentioned. It was just like that one kickoff, you put all that work in all the week, and then that ball kicks off and 60,000 people are cheering. And, you know, it's like, we reached our goal for this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had our last home game this year. We got to kick off, and then it's, you know, it had snowed and all night. We were there all night and plowing the field and getting everything ready. And we got really lucky pregame, warm-ups, everything was great. And as soon as the game kicked off, then the snow started and we had to all grab backpack blowers. So that one was a little different because we were waiting for the final whistle of that one to really feel like we were done. But generally that's kind of like our end of the session, if you will, where, you know, that's we've completed our job. I mean, we still have responsibilities during the game, but, you know, our main job as field managers is to make sure that game kicks off on the safest, best field you possibly can. And we know that once he kicks that ball off, that we did our job.
There's no greater feeling. I tell people this all the time. There's no greater feeling than having an event that you work so hard for. And then I don't know whether it's the feeling of joy and reward that you get from that, or just the feeling that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could bottle that up and like you could promote that, because I think we'd have every student interested in being a groundskeeper mm-hmm. if they just know what that feels like.
100%. Yeah, that feeling of relief, and it's probably a combination of relief and achievement and, you know, stress release and all that. It is like a euphoric feeling that, you know, we got through it. And, you know, but then it's hard to not just think about the next one, too, after that.
Mm-hmm. So as a groundskeeper and in the NFL, mm-hmm. when you saw the footage of the Buffalo Bills and what he was up against,
yep.
Is that a text to him? Like, hey, man, like, you know, how does, because I know you guys have your own group of sorts as well, where it's like you have to support each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how were you guys all kind of rallying around that situation, or with Travis, you know, down in Kansas City where it's, you know, -8? What is the response from the rest of the group where you're done for the, you know, you don't have playoffs, but you're still feeling that for them? Sorry to put the knife.
I'm laughing at something else. Sorry.
Okay.
But no, yeah, it's a great question. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm always paying attention to what's going on around the league, especially, you know, on a weekend if we're away, you know, wherever we're playing, whoever that groundskeeper is, you know, just chatting with them, or, you know, for example, use the example of the Bills and Aaron up there, and we chat back and forth all the time, and we have similar climates where we deal with snow a lot, nothing like what they deal with on a regular basis. But, you know, there was, I think it was like 2 years ago, they had a very similar storm where they just got hammered for like 3 straight days. And those guys are there 24 hours, just plowing, clearing the snow off, getting everything going. And I literally, like, I got his Venmo. I sent him like $50 and was like, just go get coffee and donuts for the guys.
I love
you
that.
Know what I mean? Like, just because you got to break that up a little bit. Yeah,
it snowed 14 inches at my house like a couple weeks ago. You didn't Venmo me any money.
You have kids that can help with that. You know?
Jeez.
That's incredible, though. But, that really is that camaraderie and that culture.
Yeah, and texting with Trav during, you know, I think he probably got, you know, 100 texts just saying like, oh, have you thawed out yet? Or how frozen are you right now? And, you know, that can get old, too, I'm sure. But I think just knowing that, you know, we all have colleagues that are paying attention to what we're doing, mm-hmm. supporting each other. And that's, you know, part of this conference, too, is just always having those conversations, continuing to build those relationships, building new relationships, and carrying them on further.
So it's appreciative then when I don't text you, oh, are you thawed out, or but you're having fun, and I just send you pictures of me laying on my couch as you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something different.
That means a lot when I get those,
A little flavor.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right, so just to talk about your session a little bit, you know, what are you excited about in order to share what you guys have prepared, or what are people really, what could they plan to hear in tomorrow's session?
Well, tomorrow's session is 8 a.m. We're talking about the future of the sports field industry. Tonight, I believe, is the Pioneer event that everyone has a really good time at and enjoys themselves at. So I don't know how many people we're going to have in the crowd or what kind of attitudes
they're
going to
have. We'll send everyone home early for you.
We're very excited, you know, and a huge credit to Drew Miller from Brentsville and the program they're building down there. We talked about it, I think, on this podcast last year. Seeing it in person, I went down and visited him over the holidays this past year and meeting some of his students in person. And you know, I'm so excited to be a part of this panel. And he's got two of his students, I think one current student, one previous student that's now in college, that are going to be jumping in and giving like a little debrief or like a case study on what they've done. And just kind of, I'm excited. Like, I'm going to be on the panel, but I'm excited to just sit up there and listen and kind of take in everything that they've done. And, you know, we're going to talk about everything, you know, from Drew's perspective, from the administrative side and the education side, and then Leah's perspective with, you know, she's got an incredible internship program down there, and how she markets herself and the team that she has, and then kind of like how that all translates up to where I'm at, and how I told them when we had multiple Zoom meetings talking about the presentation, it's like, I can't wait to learn about this, because one thing we've struggled with at Gillette is finding interns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy to be on the panel, and I look forward to hopefully giving some good insight, but I hope to learn a lot too.
What is some advice that you would give a young student that's looking for an internship in a way to promote themselves more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I credit you a lot when we talk about this, Weston. And
could you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
so my headphones must be broke.
I said I credit you a lot when it comes to that. I think my biggest thing, and I tell everyone this, whether it's high school student or a current college student that's looking for another place, take that opportunity to go somewhere else and try something different, whether it's a new location or a different type of grass. If you've always worked in the South on Bermuda grass, maybe try and go to the Northeast or the Northwest and work on cool season grass. And if you've always done golf, maybe do a year in a sports field. If you've always done a sports field, try a year in golf. Go to a sod farm. Maybe work for a construction company, because you're never going to really know what you truly love mm-hmm. until you try multiple things. And you could always have that, well, I never tried that. Maybe I would have liked that more. You don't want to be thinking about that 25 years into your career. Yeah. And like I said, Weston, we had a conversation. There's two things I remember. One is the advice that you gave me when I was applying for the job at the Soccerplex. I was still in Boston and never had been to Maryland, never had thought about going anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. And that's what he told me. He's like, now's the time to do that. You know, I didn't have any major attachments outside of just being from New England. And he said, if you're going to go somewhere else, go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, this is very random and very specific. He was like, when you do your phone interview, go sit in your car and do your phone interview in your car. Because I was living in an apartment. He's looking at like I'm crazy.
I don't remember this, yeah, but
because he
life
said
changing advice.
It's a very controlled environment. And I did. I had my notes like on my steering wheel, and I was on the phone in my car talking to Jared, trying to convince him to hire me. And I mean, he did. So it must have been the fact that I was in the car.
Yeah, awesome. And then
I do love that.
That's awesome. What do you like when you go into an interview with a kid or you know, even a young adult, adult, whatever, you're hiring somebody, what are you looking for then?
It's hard. I mean, obviously, any experience is great. You know, knowing that someone has painted before or mowed before or sprayed before, it depends, too. If you're looking for someone for an internship, it's more, to me, it's attitude-based. You know, it's character-based. It's, mm-hmm. Does this person seem like they're really eager to learn and put the work in and really invested and passionate about what they do? Or, you know, if we're looking for, you know, a new assistant superintendent or a new full-time field manager, that might be more, you know, skill-based or experience-based. But really, at the end of the day, we're trying to build a good team culture on our crew. And, you know, I think if we're bringing in new employees, our assistant superintendent sit on the interviews. I want to make sure that they ask them questions, that they feel comfortable mm-hmm. with the hire as well, because we all have to work together. We work together crazy hours, insane event schedules. And if you don't all get along, I mean, you're not going to get along all the time.
Yep.
Everybody has their moments, but generally you're going to want to like who you work with and enjoy it, or else you're not going to make it through it.
And, you know, we had the field forum lunch yesterday that I saw you in, and I loved that visual representation mm-hmm. of the equality versus equity.
Yep.
How much of that, as, you know, the leader, are you having to adjust how you interact with all your different crew members? Mm. You know, how many times are you having to think, okay, this person doesn't learn this way, so I have to talk to him this way, or this person really loves when I, you know, do hands-on learning experience, but maybe not the next guy. Like, how much are you having to adjust yourself in order to, you know, build that culture, but also build them up to be successful?
Yeah, I think it's just an individual by individual basis, right? And it's kind of a cop-out answer, but it's you have to take the time to figure out how your employees and how your coworkers learn, and then just base it off of that, like you're saying. It's mm-hmm. There's not a one size fits all way to motivate. There's not a one size fits all way to teach, and there's not a one size fits all way to lead. You know, you have to, and I'm constantly trying to evolve. And I think probably maybe too much sometimes. I'm very open with the guys about how, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to improve. And a big part of what I need to improve is communication. And exactly what you're talking about is having those conversations with those employees. And, you know, if we're trying to teach 10 guys how to mow or 10 employees how to mow, then, you know, five people might focus on something down in the distance, and that's how they focus on a straight line. Some mm-hmm. people might focus on, you know, the right edge of the reel, and that's like a super granular way of looking at it. But you just never know what the right way to teach someone is until you make that investment in that employee initially. Yeah.
Having worked with you, I think you might be the wrong person to teach anybody how to mow. So.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
I can't even really argue that anymore. My biggest thing on how to learn how to mow is how can I learn how to mow and text and respond to emails all at the same time and still try and go straight? Football has been great. I mean, coming from mostly soccer to go into football, at least I always have a line
that,
to follow.
That 4-inch white line makes everything better.
As long as we paint them straight. Yeah. You know?
Well, and you talk, you know, you just touched on that a little bit. Like, as the leader, you're not only having to, you know, cultivate culture and make sure that your crew members are having professional development. Where is there time to make sure that you are still advancing in your career and investing in yourself so that you can make sure that you're the best boss showing up every day?
That's a great question. I think we're doing it right now. Yeah. You know, yeah. I think that these conferences are great. Our local chapter events are great. We have some in New England. We have one of our agronomic providers. They put on a leadership academy every year, the agronomic academy every year. Different people have different learning seminars locally in New England. And it's just making the time to attend those events when you can, and just take as much as you can from whatever event you go to. And you may not come away from every symposium that you go to thinking like, oh my God, I got it. Like I got the next big thing. But even if you can just take little pieces here and there and then kind of piece them all together in the long run.
Definitely. Yeah. I think your Apple Watch just accidentally took a photo.
Oh, jeez.
That's a keeper, though.
Technology.
I like it.
Yep.
You know, sometimes Meg has had, she's had podcasts about, you know, the coach/groundskeeper interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's public knowledge. You have a change up there in New England.
Did that happen?
Rumor has it.
I hadn't heard
it. I read it on Twitter, so it has to be real.
It's got
to
be
so
true.
So I guess at what point do you go in and start that relationship with the new coach? I know it's a little different for you because the gentleman was already there.
Yep.
But how soon do you go in and start your communications with the new coach?
Yeah. So
fire question.
Yeah, we've got two really good examples of that, honestly, because we've got a new football coach and we have a new MLS coach.
Oh, wow.
Shockingly, the MLS coach didn't get as much publicity as the NFL one. But it's two very different examples, right? Gerard Mayo is our new head coach. He's been coaching on staff at the Patriots for years now. He's one of the guys that we've had interaction with over the past few years. And, you know, I think it's going to be a strong relationship. I think it's going to be a little bit different culture. I think he even said that in his press conference. And it's early for football. You know, the team's not really around right now. There's a couple guys that are doing workouts. But once they start getting around and he starts getting his staff underneath him, you know, we'll try and have those conversations and just initially say, listen, just want to make sure that everything we do, we want to make sure that you trust that we have your best interests at heart when it comes to the field. And building that trust is huge for us. And that leads into our other coach, our new coach of the Revolution, Caleb Porter. So he most recently was with Columbus Crew, and they hired him maybe a month ago, month and a half ago. And his first day at work, you know, I reached out to our team admin and said, hey, you know, anytime if he's interested and wants to chat with myself and Chris, our assistant that oversees the Revs, said if he's interested, we'd love to just chat and, you know, introduce ourselves, make sure he knows that, again, we're there for them. And if they need anything, please reach out. And, you know, to his credit, he reached out in within like a couple hours and said, come on out back. And we set out on the fields, walked around, explained the heating system. Talked as granular as how he wants the field lined up. You know, what training lines does he like? What's he comfortable with? And, you know, I think that initial meeting is super important because you're already starting to build that trust with that coach. And he knows that if now, hopefully he knows if there's something we ask of them, whether it's moving from one field to another or that we need to do some work, he knows that we're there for them. It's to help that surface.
Yeah. And Caleb Porter is a great coach, most importantly, because he won my Akron Zips a national championship.
Yep. Yeah. Historically, he wins everywhere he goes. So we're hoping he does that in New England as well.
How many touch bases now will you have moving forward? How often will you do that with those coaches?
That's a good question. We don't have anything scheduled. I know some guys like have weekly meetings with coaches, both NFL and MLS. I don't know for NFL, and I think MLS, it's more just we're out there, you know, prepping the training fields before practice. And if the guys come out or have questions, they feel comfortable being able to do that. And, you know, if it's something that they wanted to do moving forward, we could set up regular meetings. But knock on wood, we hope that they trust us to do the work and we trust them to do the work that they need to do and have a good relationship.
Do you know at that level, like how in your experience, do they understand, you know, what your day-to-day looks like? Is that something or do you still run into those misconceptions that are, you know, seen throughout the industry?
I think it varies. I think it varies greatly from sport to sport and team to team. You know, our football team historically, you know, they've done very well. They have a routine that they got into and they stuck with, and we weren't going to try and jump in there and change anything necessarily. And with our soccer team, you know, our previous coach, Bruce Arena, and his assistant coach, Richie Williams, they'd have conversations with us all the time. Mm-hmm. And like we'd be out there, you know, fertilizing or spraying or doing something after practice. And the coach, does your coaches ever just run laps after practice? Yep. So that's when we
have themselves or the team?
The coaches.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So they...
I can tell you a story on that, but go ahead.
I was just going to say that's when we probably had the most interaction with the coaching staff. And they see that after practice, it's not just miraculously the field's not ready for tomorrow. You know, we're out there, you know, putting divot mix out. We're aerifying. We're spraying, whatever it is. And Richie Williams, to his credit, he every time we were out there, he'd stop and ask us, like, what's that? Like, what are you doing? How's that help us? And, you know, he's very interested in it. So, like I said, I think it really depends on the person, the coach, the sport. I think in general, I think probably soccer coaches are more interested in playing surface and how things interact because the game is played on the ground. Mm-hmm. Where football, you know, they're focused to make sure that the footing is good and it's going to hold up under high traffic.
2015.
Okay.
I was in much better shape, And I built a relationship with the coaching staff running with them.
With them.
Around the field. And that gave us so much leeway.
Yeah.
And we needed it. But it helps. Any communication, as long as you're willing to have the hard conversations too, I think matters. So.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, everybody's in a great mood and asks easy questions. Yeah. And hey, why is this working so well? How's the field so great? But we know we live in reality, and that's not always the case. So there are going to be hard questions. And, you know, for example, if we were having issues with a goal mouth, or if we needed to aerify or do something, have that conversation. But just be prepared to, the way I always look at it is trying to explain to them, how is it going to make it better? You know, and just know that we're not out there pulling cores just because we like the look of it. It's stressful for us too, but the end result is going to make it better for them.
I love that. Well, you know, I think the reason you're a reoccurring guest is because we put you on the spot, questions, you know, that we all just come up with on the fly, and you always answer them so eloquently. Oh, so thanks. We really appreciate your time, but we are going to put you on the spot one more time.
Okay.
So you're you know about this, the weather report. So in terms of SFMA, what have you seen this week that has you excited, the forecast of our industry?
Yeah, that puts me on the spot. I think one thing I'm really excited about is seeing, you know, after I talked with Pam Sherratt from Ohio State, and I'm not going to say, Wesson took care of that for me, and a couple other universities that are in the turf industry. And I think, like, even 5 years ago, the overall attitude and you know, the outlook on turf students in universities was really kind of bleak, and people were scrambling to try and get more enrollment and more interest. And after talking with them and even with Drew and seeing, like, from the high school level and getting more people into it, I think what's really exciting is that I think we do have a good, strong crop of, like, young turf managers that are coming into the industry. And I think the education side of it is important, but I do think there is some awareness now where it's not like people aren't expecting a 4-year degree necessarily just to get into the turf industry. But having that big group, and, you know, as someone who's looking for employees all the time and skilled employees all the time, it's really good to see more young people that are getting into it.
Love it.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for your time again.
Yep.
Again, I'm sure we'll ask you to come on in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I think next time Wes and I find an arcade that has Papa Shot and I beat him, then I'll come on after that, because then I can brag about that.
So, all right. Well, it was nice having you featured. We'll never talk to you again.
Well, yeah, we still got to talk World Cup here. Yeah. Event. So I wasn't kidding when I said a couple weeks. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.